We hope you'll join us now as we look at God's Word, and we've been looking at the Lord's Prayer, particularly the version found in Matthew's Gospel, and so we'll, if you use your handout today, it'll give you some background and some history along the way. Came across a funny story the other day of is a different church, but a kid was standing out front back in the vestibule area of the church, and he was looking at this plaque that was back there. And he kept staring at it. He was about 7 years old, and his name was Alex. Finally, the pastor saw him and walked up to him and says, "Alex, how are you?" He said, "Fine." He still kept staring at the plaque. Finally, Alex looked at the pastor and says, "What is this?" The pastor says, "Well, these are the names of all the young men and young women who died in the service." Alex kept looking at it. Then with his voice quivering, "Was it the 9:15 or the 10:30 service?" We hope today that nobody's going to die at the 10:30 service, okay? But we're delighted that you're here. And we want you to be engaged in God's Word as He wishes to speak to us, particularly about the Lord's Prayer. You remember how it goes, found in Matthew's version. It says, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." And then the liturgical ending, "For thine is the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." We want you to remember some of the context of what we're looking at. Luke gives the context of this prayer where the disciples come to him and ask us, "Jesus, teach us how to pray." They definitely observed in Jesus' life and in his manner and his habits that Jesus had a way of praying to his Father that was different than the way they had learned about prayer. As they watched Jesus' life, they knew something was there, and so they wanted Jesus to teach them how they can have that same kind of encounter with God. And as they do that, Jesus tells them this particular way of how they might pray. They saw that Jesus' life was so different. But Matthew gives it in a different context. It is found in the Sermon on the Mount and found around some other teachings on prayer, where Jesus warns his disciples that they shouldn't pray like the religious leaders of that day and time who want to be seen and possibly heard. Jesus saying prayer is not like that. Nor should you pray where you're just continuing repetition of words like the Gentiles or the pagans, thinking that by their many words or by almost like a spiritual or a mystical incantation, God hears your prayer. Jesus tells us that prayer is different than that. Prayer is much more than that. It is not something that we learn by rote memory, but it is entering into an encounter with our loving, living God. So today we come to the facet where we're asking and trying to understand, what does it mean where Jesus tells us and teaches us how we should pray, "Give us this day our daily bread." In Luke's version it says, "Give us daily our bread." In other words, one translator says, "Our food for the morrow." In other words, maybe this prayer was, "God, give us what we need today." Or maybe the prayer was done near the end of the day or near the beginning. "Give us our food for the morrow." In other words, the things that we need. One translator says, "Our appointed bread by bringing us daily, by giving us daily." There's one other translation that's not on the screen or in your handout where the disciples are being asked to pray about God's ending, about the great bread that they will continue to receive. So for us to learn to pray this prayer, particularly this part, after we come through the Thanksgiving weekend, maybe about "give us our daily bread," maybe there are several things we can learn from it, and some of it comes from the historicity of the passage as well as how Jesus taught it. So I want us to look at four invitations that you and I have that might give us deeper understanding as well as deeper practice of this particular passage. When we pray this prayer, their first invitation is the invitation to slow down. I don't know about you, but life is still moving way too fast, isn't it? I mean, particularly now that we're past Thanksgiving, guess what's upon us? If you haven't already decorated, you're probably pulling all your decorations down. And every year, if you're like me, you're saying, this year, I am going to slow down and enjoy the Advent Christmas season. And guess what? By the end of it, you'll be exhausted and you'll say, next year, I'm going to enjoy this. This prayer is an invitation for us to slow down. Whenever we come to this part where we're praying, God, give us our daily bread, we have to remember where this comes. We have to remember that this is part of the second part of this prayer, and the first part of it kind of gives us our context. Remember, we have already learned to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven. God, holy is your name. May you be glorified, you set apart. We've already learned to pray, Lord, your kingdom, your rule, your reign, come in our life, in this world, and your will be done in my life, just as it is in heaven. God, can you help us learn to pray by slowing down just a little bit? Because if we don't slow down, what happens whenever we come to this part is we move to it way too fast. In other words, we start praying for our daily greeds rather than our daily needs. You know, if your prayers are like my prayers all too often, it's my shopping list of what I want God to give me. Oh yeah, Lord, give me this today, and this, and this, and this. But if we learn to pray the prayer the way that Jesus taught his disciples, and we give it the context within which it's in, we don't want our greed or our neediness to overrun God's grace. If we spend time with the Father who loves us, Father, if we spend time with the one who is holy, and we pray that his kingdom, his rule would be in my life and I would do his will, then we're slowing down enough where God's grace can take root in us. We're not overrun by all of our needs or by all of our desires. But the good thing is, God knows that we need stuff daily. God knows we do have daily needs in our life. And so our desires can be something that we bring before our Heavenly Father. But we do it in such a way as that we have it in the right priority. We've prioritized our relationship with God. We've prioritized His kingdom is ruling in my life. And then we can bring our desires before Him. The prior section that we had gives us that context. But I want you to remember a couple of things. In your handout, I gave you a verse that comes out of the book of Psalms. Whenever we're praying to God who sees all of our hearts, who all our desires are known, that can be a little bit scary. But the psalmist says, delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Whenever we're learning to pray this prayer in the right order, we're remembering that desires in the Latin means of the Father. So what we've done is we've saturated ourselves in a right relationship with our Heavenly Father so that our desires have become what He desired. And when our desires have become what He desires, then we can pray and we can recognize that we can delight ourselves in the Lord, and He gives us the deep desires of our heart. But we have to get it in the right order. For if we don't get it in the right order, we miss out this part of the invitation to slow down, to take in what God has for us. The second invitation for us comes out of this teaching that Jesus gives us as He reminds us that this invitation is to come to the banquet table. Wow, look at all this food down here in front of me. Doesn't that make you hungry? What are you going to eat for lunch today? You're already thinking about those things. You may be too full to eat because you've probably had all the food you wanted over the last few days because you felt like you were eating a particular banquet. Jesus is trying to teach His disciples in this part of the prayer of giving us our daily bread. It has to do with the image of what Jesus has done. When Jesus has come, the kingdom of God has broken in, and now we are learning and saying that God's rule and reign is breaking in, and the great banquet that God is preparing is coming. So for you and I to pray this prayer, give us our daily bread, we're praying the prayer as if God is preparing the messianic banquet where His rule and His reign is final, and you and I who are His followers are invited to the banquet. We prepared our hearts for the banquet. We prepared our lives for the banquet. And our chair is sitting there and possibly our name tag in front of us because the Father has invited us to this particular banquet. In Matthew chapter 8, verse 11, in your handout, it says, I say to you that many will come from east and west, and they will take their place at the feast with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Jesus is reminding us that the great banquet, the bread of life that God has for us, that we pray for, is this great banquet. But I want you to notice a couple of things that happen, and there are a couple of verses that are at the top of your handout on the other side. Jesus was accused of several things by religious leaders of that day and time, some things not very nice. In Matthew chapter 11, it says, the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, here is a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. This idea of glutton and drunkard is an Old Testament passage. And what the religious leaders of that day and time were saying is, Jesus is a disobedient son. Look what it says in Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy, it's talking about a disobedient son. It says, and they shall say to the elders, this son of ours is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey us. He's a profligate. He's a glutton and a drunkard. See, what the religious leaders were saying of Jesus' day and time is Jesus is a disobedient son. And yet, Jesus demonstrated the messianic banquet everywhere he went. He invited those who were far from God, whom yet were important to his Father, whom he loved. He invited them to come and partake. To come and partake of God's good news. And yet the religious leaders accused him of being a disobedient son. But what Jesus was being is he was being obedient son. He was doing only what his Father had told him to do. He was doing what his Father had called him to do. Notice what the prophet Isaiah says about this great banquet. And Jesus quotes more from the book of Isaiah than any other Old Testament book. On the mountain of the Lord Almighty will prepare a feast of rich food for all peoples. A banquet of aged wine, the best of meats, the finest of wines. On this mountain he will destroy the shroud that enfolds all peoples, the sheet that covers all nations. He will swallow up death forever. The sovereign Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces. He will remove the disgrace of his people from all the earth. The Lord has spoken. See, whenever we pray this prayer, not only are we slowing down so that our desires become what God desires, we're praying this prayer of God, give us our daily bread, and we're remembered of our invitation to the great banquet, and we're to live out that banquet here and now, even though it will happen fully and completely in the future. The next thing that we're invited to do is we're invited, as we pray this prayer, to remember others. We're to remember others who don't have the food. We're to remember others as we pray, give us, in other words, all of us, our daily needs. Help us meet these areas of our life where we have particular needs. Not only are we invited to the great banquet, we're invited to remember those who don't have bread today, who may not have had bread yesterday, and who probably will not have bread tomorrow. Jesus is teaching us that we are to celebrate and to slow down and to remember others who deal in life with difficult things. Matthew's gospel reminds us, as Jesus tells one of these great parables at the end, that whenever he was hungry, we fed him. And when did we do this, Lord? When you've done it to the least of these. The prophet Isaiah again says that he, whenever we remember those who are hungry and satisfy the needs of the oppressed, then our light will rise in the darkness and your night will become like noonday. See, the scripture teaches us that we are to remember those who are in need, to help out those who are hurting, to be grateful and to share our gratefulness with others. First John reminds us that whenever we see a brother or sister in need and we have means to help out and we don't, we kind of act as if the Lord's love is not in us. First John chapter 3, verses 17 and 18 remind us of God's great love. If we have the material possessions and see our brother in need but have no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, that's us. Let us not love with word or tongue, but with actions and with truth. Whenever we're slowing down in life, I don't remember if we showed the picture, but the picture of two cloudy bottle of waters. One had water that had silt in it and was dirty, and one was clear. Our life is too often like that. We're rushing through and it becomes like the water that's shaken up and the stirring of all the stuff in the bottom just makes it cloudy. But whenever we slow down and settle down, whenever we pause and get in right relationship with God, our lives become clearer. The sediment goes to the bottom and God's clarity comes through. Whenever we come to the great banquet table, we're able to share the feast and we're able to share it with others, inviting others to come. And I'm thankful for a church and for many of you who give in lots of ways to those people who we need to remember. But the last thing that we need to do where we're invited to is we're invited to come to God's table. Invited to come to God's table, and many think that this passage of whenever Jesus was saying that we are to pray for our daily bread was also a foretelling of that Last Supper. Jesus tells us that he is the bread of life. I am the bread of life. I'm the living bread that came down out of heaven. We heard the passage read earlier where Jesus talks about that he was the one and we're to take him in. Later in John's Gospel in chapter 6, he says, unless you eat the bread or my flesh and drink his blood, as we share in the Lord's Supper, we're remembering God. And then also whenever Paul says in 1 Corinthians, whenever we take it in, we're proclaiming the Lord's death. Beautiful picture of all the food from the banquet, of slowing down to take it in. Do you love bread? Oh man, especially if you've got some good butter and it's fresh baked. And Jesus invites you and me to come to his table. We'll not do it today, but we come at other times. Some of y'all think I broke a fake bread, didn't you? No, this is real. Most of this is fake, but this one's not. I had them fooled. And bread was a staple of life for the first generation. It's a staple of life for many of us. But it's also the invitation for you and I to come and partake the bread of life. And Jesus invites us far and wide to come to his table. He cusks us who are sinners and those who are far off and those who are close, those who are the prodigal son who have run off and been disobedient, and those who have stayed home in religious activity. He invites us to come. We are partakers. We are proclaimers of what God has done. God invites us to the table. He invites us to come and slow down. He invites us so that we can be prepared for the great banquet feast and to live it out even here and now, as we prayed earlier, in heaven as on earth. He invites us so that we can remember those who may not have their daily bread or their daily needs. And he invites us to his table to share his bread and life. And he invites us all, first and last, sinners and saints. It's his table. He's the one that forgives us, and we are the redeemed. And as we proclaim that redemption, we pray the prayer, our Father, who art in heaven, holy is your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Today, if you want to come to the table metaphorically, if you need to receive God's gift of the bread of life, He invites you. Or maybe today's the day that you need to join a family of faith that we walk together with. We were never meant to do this alone. God created community, birthed us into families so that we might walk with each other. And then as we turn our attentions to those outside these walls or those inside these walls that are hurting and need us to reach out to them, we put our arm around them and we invite them to come with us as we go to the Savior and to His table.